Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, March 14th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, part two of the two-part multi-chain live space about Rune, Luna, all things Thorchain, and more. Let's take a listen.
Hey there. I think I was next. Thank you. Sure, just a few little points before I ask my questions. I think the mentioning about minting coins and then just redistributing value, I think I'd call that probably DeFi 2021, which happened with a lot of shit coins. And one of them, just for example, was something called Pancake Bunny, where it went from $4 and to the height of $500 because they just kept on minting, got hacked. Somebody minted 10 times the value and now it's sat at 29 cent. Like it's, goes up God knows how many 100% and then goes down 99%. Regarding Rune on IBC, I think the only place I found it was on SifChain. So, but that's an ERC20 Rune. It's not a native Rune. So you can find it kind of bridged, I think, through SifChain and you can actually LP over there. But I've never found native Rune outside kind of ThorSwap. The other thing I wanted to ask, I think this is a general question. Again, I think Chad might want to answer as well. When people talk about BTC being the reserve currency, the more I look into this, I find that it's actually the reserve currency for crypto, not the reserve currency as in how you peg it towards the US dollar, because everything moves up and down with it rather than, you know, it's very rarely you see something depeg from BTC and go a different direction. I know Rune has been doing that for the past few days and definitely gone a different direction. It's got its own chart. But it seems BTC is a reserve currency for crypto, not for normal use. So if you kind of want to hold your value, you change everything to Bitcoin if you think it's going to be a bear market, because you know Bitcoin is not going to drop that much percentage compared to other coins where they can drop 50, 60, while Bitcoin only drops 5%. Then I come to my questions, actually. One is, I think, Chad, if you want to answer, I still haven't seen somewhere. So I'm a non-programmer, kind of basic crypto person. I don't trade a lot. I kind of like buy some coins that I like and keep them. Is there a way where I can get real life utility out of it, not just being a what you call a currency trader or a forex trader, but in the crypto? So let's say I've got $50,000 worth of Rune. I want to take a loan and actually pay part of my mortgage with it, but I don't want to lose my Rune. So I want to keep my Rune kind of and then take out that $50,000 in real life money to then actually pay something with it, but I've not lost my Rune. So I know people are taking loans, but those loans are used again for leveraging rather than going back into real life or taking it off ramp. And my second question is, why isn't Luna, why is it static at that kind of 90 to 100 range? And I don't mean in terms of value. If people are burning and minting and burning and minting US, why doesn't it just keep going up forever? That's my questions. Thank you.
Well, for the first one, what you're describing is like a loan, and that's part of the ThorFi design is as a lending. So you can use your rune to take out a loan. More accurately, you're acquiring LP units of a pool and then using that as your collateral for a loan. But you can do that to buy a car if you wanted to. You just, the network would give you Thor USD and then you trade it into something that you could sell on some centralized exchange, might be Bitcoin, whatever it is, to sell it on, Kraken or whatever exchange that you're using for a European. And then, buy your car. If you want to do that, you can. There's nothing actually wrong with that whatsoever. So that's something that is planned and something that is coming out hopefully in the next few months or so. But the second part of your question was about why is Luna price always going, never just going up? It goes in both directions. So when you're burning Luna to acquire UST, you're decreasing the supply of Luna, but the demand is the same. Like every asset in the world, doesn't matter crypto or not, it's just the price is determined by supply and demand. That's how I can use economics 101 kind of idea. And so in Luna's case, you are decreasing the supply where the demand is the same, and therefore the prices goes up. But it also happens in the opposite direction as well. When you're burning UST and you're minting Luna, you're increasing the supply and therefore increasing or decreasing the price. So it only goes in the direction that that burning and minting will allow, with also take into account speculation on how people are acquiring it just to speculate.
So are we kind of in an equilibrium at the moment? Let's say, for example, I don't own Luna, so I'm talking from just an observer point of view, and kind of it doesn't really matter what they got. I just want to know how that mechanism. Are we in an equilibrium at the moment that the $90 to $100 range is where it's happening, and potentially when we get a bull market, that jump becomes from a $90 to $100 to let's say $180 to $200, and it stays there. So every time you have it goes big moves rather than smaller moves at the moment, because it looks like if it does do anything, it's going to be with a big bull market and it'll just jump and it'll stay static and it reforms its equilibrium again.
No, I wouldn't say that. It just, it has, confidence bands around it. I mean, if you want to get into the TA side of things, which I'm not a person who personally believes in TA that much, but it just has resistance and support lines. And so that resistance and support line is just kind of locking it at around $100 or $80 right now. That's not permanent by any stretch of the imagination. That'll shift with just macro events, or even things happening within the Terra system of like integrating with ThorChain, for example, that could push Luna, beyond the $100 mark into something higher.
Yeah, just another thought on that. And by the way, Chad, you have a little bit of the robot voice. I don't know if there's anything you could maybe do, but it's not too bad. It might just be for the speakers. People have been saying that sometimes only the speakers hear the robot voice, so I'm not sure how everyone's hearing it. But I was going to say on Luna is, I think a lot of that, and this is just my own like speculation, but I mean, the whole market has kind of been in timid area recently, just with like world news and media and all whatnot. But if you look at the burn of Luna, it's just like, it's unbelievable right now. Like out of like the non-staked circulating supply, like just so like purely liquid Luna, I think it was somewhere around 100 million and burning like a million a day. Which means like that can't really keep up without some other stuff going on. I mean, either unstaking and selling or price go up. So when I look at that burn rate, it's hard not to be like super bullish on Luna. But anything could happen. But it feels like the next few months could definitely be pretty wild for Luna.
Hey, Chad, I hope COVID hasn't got you down too bad.
Thanks.
I was wondering if you guys have considered creating a mechanism where node providers are required to bond their rune. That might create an environment where capital is incentivized to stay within the economy longer. Have you considered that?
If I understand your question correctly, that's what happens No. In order to run a node on the network, you have to bond up your rune to do so.
You were cutting in and out. It's just about if you've considered having node providers bond the rune, yeah. For a period of time where like there'll be like a B rune. That's all.
Well, the node operators right now already have to bond rune. And they can technically unbond when they want to, or if they get churned out, like having a really low score or not having enough rune, for example, which is why the bond wars take into effect, competing to stay in as a node operator earning more rewards.
Apologies, I should have clarified it. Like, have you guys considered a bonding period or an unbonding period, so that like there might be like an opportunity for B rune arbitrage, like there is with Luna.
Well, so when you bond up in ThorChain or one of your nodes, you can't unbond until you're out of the network and the network has finished this churning process, which generally takes 6 hours in most cases. So you don't have access to that rune at all. And then you typically you're in the network for, you know, months. Assuming everything goes smoothly and you're doing a good job as a node operator and you're not getting slashed a lot or anything like this, but yeah, you'll be in the network for months, and that all that rune will be locked up, and it can't be sold or moved or any of these things. But there's no B rune out there.
I guess another part would be it would kind of like if a node operator could like get bonded rune, which has value, then that would also kind of break the economic security model, right? Because then they'd be able to like use that B rune representing their bonded rune. Which means like they wouldn't really have the value total, unless I guess they'd have to get it back to redeem it. But yeah.
No, you're right. That would be an economic security issue. You're right. Yeah. What you're saying. So if I could take, you know, 100,000 rune and then bond it up, get, you know, 100,000 B rune and then sell that into more rune and bond up another 100,000 rune and then sell that B rune into more rune and then kind of loop that, eventually I could get enough capital that I could, Sybil attack the network while only actually putting up, you know, $100,000 worth of actual value. I think you can do that in Terra's case because they're not securing other assets. So they have a different economic security needs. And ThorChain has a much more strict and much more significant, you know, requirements of how it can operate and still maintain economic security. In Terra's case, there's no Bitcoin on it or Ethereum. So if Terra gets Sybil attacked by somebody, all the assets go to zero, right? And so it doesn't really matter at that point. But in our case, because if rune gets the network gets Sybil attacked, then, you know, the rune goes to zero, but the Bitcoin doesn't, and the Ethereum doesn't, and the, you know, Luna doesn't, and all these other assets. And so it makes it economically profitable to attack the network in that scenario, which is why we don't do that.
Okay, I guess at least my next question. When you guys talk about blue chip crypto from DorFi, can you give an example of what that is and like what are the requirements for like blue chip?
Yeah, blue chip is kind of a bad name because it kind of instills an opinion or a perspective, and that's really not what it is. It's really more accurate to say that it's just going to support one asset per chain. Which that one asset you can probably guess is where that's going to be. It's going to be Luna. It's going to be Bitcoin. It's going to be Ethereum. But it's not going to be EFC20s or CW20s or even UST. Like just one asset per chain that's supported. So that if a person wanted to take out a loan, that they can use the chain that they like most, which might be Bitcoin or Terra, Luna, whatever, and be able to take out a loan.
All right. Thanks, guys.
For sure. Let's go to physical Bitcoin art.
Hello. Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Pretty good.
How's it going?
Good, good. All right. It's my first time here in this space. You know, spaces is kind of all a new thing to me as well. Or, you know, not as well, but I'm kind of curious, you know, it's a long story and been something that I've been into for a long time. And it's actually my daughter's name. She was named it in 2015, which is really intriguing to me. And I know it's not like on the, you know, you guys said and more. So I'm really curious, like, what you guys think about, like, the upcoming integration with XHV and Haven. If anybody has, like, any thoughts about that and how it's going to, like, affect the entire ecosystem of, like, the crypto markets and having, like, a real privacy coin that has, like, a stable, you know, aspect to it, you know, has a stable coin involved with it that's on the grade of, like, Monero and, you know, when it comes to privacy and things like that. If, you know, I'm just, anybody have any thoughts about that or, like, how that's going to change, like, everything that we're dealing with nowadays with crypto, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't follow the project super closely, but I mean, it definitely sounds like there's a lot of implications there. And I think privacy is important for things beyond only not just illegal activities and stuff like that. Like, I think privacy is kind of going to be a necessary component for a lot of different use cases. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see any privacy coin come into Thorchain for sure. And I think whatever that is, and probably multiple over time, will definitely be a huge use case. As for, like, yeah, XUSD and stuff like that, like, I don't know too much about, like, even what the current, like, usage or, like, how much utilization there is. Maybe you have some of those numbers, but I've it's been on my radar for a long time, but I'm not, like, there's just so much to follow that I'm not, like, super on top of all the latest Haven stuff.
Yeah, that's understandable. And I mean, there's always a lot of growing pains whenever something's evolving, obviously, like with Rune and with Haven. You know, there's been multiple things that have happened in the past. And, you know, that's part of growing pains, I guess. And, you know, there's no such thing as failure. There's only learning lessons, I suppose, right? And, you know, I just think that it is, I just wanted to give a real quick, you know, at least shout out and, you know, or not shout out, but like, bring it up, you know, just to bring it into the space and make people aware of what's happening and what's going to be happening in the next few months, hopefully, in my opinion, that, like, it's gonna really change the way that the world operates. I feel like, you know, eventually, because how can anybody, like, really transact and move their money whenever it's all public and everybody can see everything that you do if they want to? And anyways, I'll just leave it at that. And you know, I think that people should, you know, you should definitely research it more and look into it, because this is something that is next level. And I don't have all those numbers. I'm not, like, a total technical person or, you know, all those different things. There's definitely people that are and that could easily express those things, but I'm not that guy. I just do artwork and things like that. So, and I'm learning. So anyways, thank you guys. I just thought I'd chime in. I really appreciate the quick, you know, letting me talk and all those things. So if anything else, have a, you know, looking forward to Thorchain. Let's make it happen. So be it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's cool to hear. We were talking earlier too, a bit about Shade and Secret and all that. So yeah, it'll be really cool to see all these unfold, and definitely a space to watch on multiple of them. Noah, you want to go ahead, and then Krabby?
Yeah, thanks, Chad. And thanks, Chad, B here. For hopping in as one of the lead devs, it's awesome that you do these. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on one of the vulnerabilities, I guess I you could say, or a challenge for Thorchain that a lot of other chains don't have, which is, you know, this proof of bond model, in the sense that as the whole ecosystem gets way bigger, could you foresee a scenario where one of the nodes is basically run by a company or an entity, and then you have a bad actor within that entity that doesn't really care about the rune that's posted as bond, steals the funds? And then, like, just curious, like, could you see that scenario / how would Thorchain respond, do you imagine? And yeah, wondering what your thoughts are on that.
I think the question was about economic security and how to ensure people don't steal funds. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think a little bit more just surrounding the fact that the way the security model works is, you know, the security model, it becomes a little bit more difficult when you have somebody who is essentially running a node that doesn't own all of the bonded rune. You could have a scenario where like a company is running a node and somebody, an individual within the company has access to those wallets that are storing the liquidity for other chains.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so that is an issue within the context of that company, but it's not an issue within the context of the network, right? So every time that happens, where say a company is running and they're running a Thor chain node, and then one of their employees gets all, you know, mischievous there and steals a bunch of funds from one of the nodes, the network itself slashes that bond 1.5x the value of what was stolen. So the network gets back what it owes, right? So the network actually profits from that scenario rather than loses. So it sucks for the company because the company just lost a boatload of money, and it sucks for them. They should have maybe had better, more strict, you know, procedures for access to such nodes and such. But the network itself is just fine with that scenario. It doesn't actually really matter from the network perspective.
Gotcha. Even though that could potentially be tons of rune that hits the market, I guess the 1.5x ensures that the sell pressure on rune wouldn't be so much that it wouldn't compensate.
Technically speaking, that would create a bunch of sell pressure on the rune asset, I don't think it would be significant. I mean, the nodes themselves only have access to at best, in the most optimal scenario, 25% of the value of their bond is. And for most nodes, their bond is $500,000 right now on average, 500,000 runes, excuse me. So it'd be 25% of that. And so that would be the effectively 1.5x of that of what would hit the market to sell. And that's a lot of rune, obviously, but it's not, it wouldn't really matter because it's not even relating to actual events or the fundamentals of the project has changed or anything like this. Like, people will just buy it up and push the price back to where it was because Rune's now selling for a cheap price. So people will just, you know, acquire it in that scenario, hypothetically.
Right. Yeah. So then I guess the only scenario where it could be a problem is if like one single entity or that company that had the bad actor basically was running a ton of nodes, in which case like tons of Rune would need to be slashed or sold. But that's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, that's pretty unlikely. I mean, each node costs many millions to run. And so most people are just running a single node for the most part. There are others that run more than one, but some of them are, I suppose. But it's very, very unlikely, that scenario you're talking about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Thanks.
Crabby, all right, Gabby.
Hey guys, thanks for having this AMA. I just had two questions I was hoping you guys could answer. The first was, it's on Discord. Thorchain is gonna phase out non-native rune, so I was just wondering how exactly that works, given like the different token standards. And then I was also wondering if you guys had any plans to integrate with OX Project, because I know they've done like a ton of great work with DEX aggregation. I was just wondering if that was something in the works.
For the second question first, there's a bunch of effort going on right now within the team, along with Non-Realms, to reach out and connect and hopefully collaborate with various wallets and DEXs and DEX aggregators and this kind of thing. I don't want to comment on any one specific one, mostly because those things are kind of somewhat fragile and require cross-team kind of approval before public announcements are made and that kind of stuff. So I don't want to step on anybody's toes per se. What was the first question again?
The first one, I saw this on Discord, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw Thorchain was phasing out a non-native rune. So like the ERC-20 rune wouldn't exist or something. And I was just wondering how that would work with the like different token standards and how you'd put rune on other chains.
So there was an idea a while back that was floated to the community, and we had very, you know, spirited conversations around that, whether people liked it or hated it. And the idea was that there's a switch mechanism in the network that allows you to mint native rune in the network via burning the ERC-20 or burning the native BEP2 asset. And the idea was that over time, that ratio, instead of being 1-to-1, it would be less and less in favor of the non-native asset. So, you know, eventually you put in, you know, two BEP2 rune, you get one native rune on the other side, you know, just to kind of incentivize people to abandon the asset. I don't know if that's actually going to happen or not. It's something that I think the communities have determined if they want to do that or not. Some people would argue that, you know, having people's rune, BEP2 rune or ERC-20 rune go to, you know, effectively go to zero in terms of its value, because that switch thing is no longer maintaining its value, is, you know, mean or not right to do to those individuals. I don't know how I feel about it personally. I'm kind of on the fence about it. Yeah, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think I got it. Thank you. Really appreciate it, guys.
I think my personal opinion would be that, you know, because in LPU, I answer a lot of the questions with regards to like upgrading BEP2 usually rune to native rune. And it's not a simple process for a lot of people, especially those who are new to crypto. So I just feel that having the ability to not have to do that and just have native rune would eliminate a lot of frictions in terms of getting into native rune. That's what I would probably say with regards to like deprecating like BEP2 and ETH rune, so effectively killing those in the long run. I do feel like that's something we should move towards in order to have more rune be productive in the system. So, you know, because there would be no essentially non-productive rune at that point, there's more likely that people would LP or use it for transaction fees or bond into like a node, for example. But that's just my opinion.
Just one follow-up clarifying question. Is native rune on Thorchain, is that ICS-20 like other Cosmos tokens, or is that something else?
Yeah, that's a native asset on Thorchain. It's definitely not an ICS-20 because it's not using the IBC bridge. It could be an ICS-20 on another chain one day, hopefully soon. But yeah, it's a native asset to Thorchain itself.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Also, I just pinned a tweet of a guide I did with ThorSwapped on how to upgrade from BEP2. Really would be the same steps from ERC-20, but most people seem to have BEP2 because that's what the exchanges have. But yeah, you can either just sell it and swap in or do the one-to-one upgrade. But right now, I think there's still a pretty decent ARB. So depending on your tax implications, you might be better off just basically selling it to something else and then swapping to native and gain, like, I don't know, whatever it is right now. It might be like 5 or 10% more quantity of rune. So definitely a good move. I'm not sure who else is up here that hasn't asked a question, but anyone can just jump in. You know, these are super casual spaces, and anyone else can. We've got space up here to request, so yeah, go for it.
I have a question.
Sure.
From what I understand, there are 500, or there will be 500 million rune max supply. So I'm wondering whether the minting of Thor USD will affect that supply, whether it will increase it or it's going to be that 500 million max.
Yeah, it would. So right now, you're right. The native asset is a fixed supply of 500 million. I think like about half of it is in circulating, and the other half mostly is in the reserve. But if we did doing this Thor USD, Thor savings, and lending idea that we're going to be floating to the community to discuss and comment and such, that would change the monetary policy of Rune. And so the community has to make a determination if this is the direction we want to go as a community or not, and that's up to you all to figure out.
Okay. You got a little more choppy, at least on my end, during that. Were you able to catch that answer, Leo?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Chad Bay. I've got a question for you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so just before touching on something you said about 15 minutes ago regarding how Thorchain essentially owns addresses for every chain, how is that decentralization managed? Like, where are those, how's the security, what's the question? I had it in my head 15 minutes ago, and then I'm back. Yes, the security and decentralization of that. Where the like, or don't know where the seed phrase is, but how is that managed?
Right. So there's two different types of vaults in the Thorchain network. One we call what we call an Asgard vault, and one we call a Yggdrasil vault. And the Asgard vault is what's referred to as a threshold signature address. It's kind of like a multi-sig, but not quite. But conceptually, it's similar enough to just for the purposes of this discussion. And so that's managed. Each Asgard vault has up to 40 validators. And right now, I think there's like two or three Asgard vaults in total. I think there's three Asgard vaults in total, which is kind of like the ingress of the network. That's where you're sending in your funds to, is to these Asgard vaults. And then the other one is what we call Yggdrasil vault. And that one is just like a regular old wallet. It's like a one of one. The validator owns that wallet. They have the only ones that have control to it. And they receive funds from Asgard to send out swaps and outbound transactions, outbound, you know, capital. And so that those funds are always secured because the amount of value that they've staked into the network is always significantly higher than what they, the value of those assets in their Yggdrasil vault. And so if they ever do steal anything or do anything malicious, they always take a very strong haircut and lose a good amount of money as part of that. Does that make sense?
Still getting, on my end, it was a bit choppy, but I feel like same. I knew what you said, but I'm not sure if people, were you able to catch that, Doctor? I don't know if you're still muted or maybe stepped out, but yeah, hopefully.
Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Still, yeah, I was having a mad technical glitch. No, I can hear you perfectly, Chad Thoreau. Are you able to relay what Chad B just said? Because I didn't catch pretty much anything that he said.
Got it. Yeah. So basically, there. I'll do my best to relay the whole thing. So there's two types of vaults on Thorchain. There's the Asgard vaults, which are the inbound vaults, and those are controlled by basically all the nodes together, like through this threshold signature scheme, which is similar to a multi-sig but a bit more complex and allows you know, many 40 up to 40 technically nodes to be agreeing on what's leaving those vaults. Then there's also the, I never know how to pronounce this, but the Yggdrasil vaults, which are the smaller individual vaults that each node individually controls. And those vaults, technically, that's where like all the sort of 2x node bond stuff like that, like the security stuff we've talked about before, really applies mainly for that, because that's where that node could steal those assets. But because they're bonding their 2x value of Rune away, they're just highly disincentivized to do that. So those are the quicker, smaller outbound vaults, like for when you do a swap and that is sent out from Thorchain, it's coming from an individual node operator, basically. But they, they've had to bond so much more than they are protecting. So that's what keeps that side in check. And then Thorchain itself is kind of monitoring the balance between the Asgard vaults and the Yggdrasil vaults and, you know, kind of like replenishing as needed.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to need to do some reading.
So again, I would go to Grassroots Crypto on YouTube. I've probably watched his videos like 10 times each. And I would suggest, yeah, anyone here, like if you're like really wanting to understand like what's like how this stuff is really working, like more technical, like not something that everyone needs to understand by any means. But if you really want to understand like how it works, that's probably the best resource out there. Also just the docs, docs.thorchain.org. Are also really good, and they've been revised, and they're really clear and concise. But the visuals and like kind of the diagrams and explaining through it in Grassroots Crypto videos are super helpful.
Awesome, we'll check out. Thank you so much.
Apologies about my audio.
Hey guys,
I took my AirPods off, and I did a Wi-Fi test. I got like 200 megabits per second, so I don't know why the audio is so sketch.
It's good now. Yeah, that sounds much better. Just a thought, though. I wonder if sometimes if you just switched off your Wi-Fi on your phone and used like LTE or whatever, if it might be better sometimes. But anyways, let's. We've got about a few more people up here, so let's go to Chris.
Hey, hi guys. I'm Chris from Italy. Just a simple question. are you planning to open a reactor on Tokamak or not? And if yes, why? Just this question.
I would love to see a reactor open up on Tokamak, and I would love to work with the Tokamak team to make that happen. But that's the short answer of it.
Okay, thank you. Just because I've seen that in the core section, there is a run proposal, I mean, I think. And I'm just curious, just that. Thank you.
Yep, no worries.
I have a question for Chad, if I can
speak. Go for it.
Okay, so I've been following Thorchain for more than a year now, and I'm a big believer. But I was a bit concerned and confused why we're trying to go with ThorFi and with the lending and everything, because I saw some issues that other people raised. So I was thinking, why that decision was taken to go and develop that aspect of ThorChain rather than trying to connect other chains or trying to make some of the current issues to solve them rather than expanding, because I believe as a community, as more expansion, then is less coordination. And another sub question of this is, will that be in any way affecting the security of the ThorChain and of the nodes and LPs and everything else? I hope you understand my point.
Yeah. I think the reason why I think some of us in the core dev team wanted to pursue this idea of what ThorFi ended up being was because this project is uniquely positioned to do things that nobody else in the space can reasonably do, just because it's cross-chain the way that it is. It's the only project in the space that's actually figured out a way to secure assets with Anon, you know, validators, and be able to get a consensus with a I have to leave in a minute here, by the way. So the decision was made because there's some things that we wanted to be able to do that nobody else in the space can do, and we were the only ones that could do it, and so we kind of made it so that we should do it in some sense. Plus, we had some ideas of how we could innovate in the space and do things that nobody else has done in the space. We wanted to kind of push the envelope rather than just, you know, do the same things as everyone else. So that's really what it is, more than anything else.
Anyone else can just jump in. I'm not sure who's next, but.
I'll just jump in real quick because
I get a head off. My wife's calling me, but sorry.
No worries. Thanks, Chad.
Leave so abruptly.
And hope you feel better. And we'll keep it going if we can answer the questions. But
no worries. My question was about the security. Will these have any way in affection in the security? If others can respond to that.
You mean adding the ThorFi features?
Yes.
Unfortunately, Chad had to jump off there. He'd probably be the best for that. But, you know, I would imagine, like, for sure, you know, like adding any like complex feature always kind of adds some level of new attack risks to some regard. Like having this burn mint mechanism of Thor USD, at least there's a non-zero added risk to that. I would say that's safe to say. But, you know, I mean, Chad and the rest of the team, like, they've continuously kind of like done things that the whole space says is impossible. It's kind of like a core thing to ThorChain in a way. So, you know, I don't think anything will get released or pushed public if it's, you know, if it hasn't been severely thought through and audited and very much battle tested. And I'm sure it would be rolled out like most other features, you know, in a semi guarded sort of launch, like not something where you can, you know, immediately mint billions of dollars of it or something like that.
And we're kind of already doing that as well, right? Like, you've already seen, like, technically ThorFi is already live. Like, synths are a part of ThorFi, and those are already live with the 5% cap to the LP pool. So I mean, as Shed said, and if we add any, for example, any additional chains, there's always risk there. None of these integrations have zero risks. There's always some sort of attack vector that could happen there, you know, whether that be through nodes or some sort of other attack vector with smart contract risk or whatever that may be. But yeah, I mean, we usually do things in a stage method, right? So for example, with the Terra integration, we're doing testnet, stage net, and then it goes to production. So it goes through a lot of testing before it actually goes live to ensure that it's actually battle tested. Like for example, with the Synths, there were the war games for a couple of weeks in which people could literally get paid thousands worth of rune depending upon the bug bounties that were in the bugs that were found.
Yeah, I mean that's what I truly like about the community and everything. But to be honest, I'm a bit skeptical because since we're not like fully stable because of the caps and the limit of the number amount of and transactions and everything, I thought that maybe this will just broaden the focus rather than and I believe the project it should be more narrow and solve some of the current small issues that we have. So yeah, but now since Chad is gone, it's fine.
Yeah,
thank you guys. Thank you for this hosting. It really helped us to be more connected and more like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's great. I think it's great to raise those concerns. And I think that's kind of like the stage that ThorFi is in right now. Is the whole idea is to raise these concerns and to like discuss them. So, you know, you can jump to the dev Discord, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more discussion around this stuff. And also just to like kind of reframe it again for people. I know I said this earlier, but like, the ThorFi stuff is really exciting to talk about, but it is like far out, right? Like it's not like this is happening right around the corner. Like this is like, we're talking like after several more chains, after a lot of stability, after mainnet, after scaling nodes and bonds and liquidity more, like, you know, it's going to be like months away before anything like this actually is going live or even being that close to it. But at the same time, it's like really exciting because like Chad was saying, ThorChain is uniquely positioned to offer something like this that no one else can really kind of compete. So if it works, ThorChain is already the kind of the biggest idea in crypto to some extent. And this would just make it like truly unbelievable. So it's really exciting, but you know, it's far out and it's kind of after those things you touched on, like stability and fixing, like just making sure all the core features are working. So I hear you on that.
So, something else I want to add is that, you know, after the exploits that happened last summer, you know, Nine Realms and ThorSec were created to effectively just monitor the network for 24/7. Since those teams have been created, there hasn't been any major issues since then, and we've taken a slower but more methodical approach to adding chains and new features for that exact reason, to ensure that any funds that were stolen are covered in by the ThorChain reserve and made whole, right? So again, we're taking a kind of a slower, more methodical approach just to ensure the economic security of the network and to not compromise that in any way.
Yeah. And another piece of that is like, there's a difference between like internal, like actually a good example of this is Synths, right? Because with Synths, there's no of like the throttling and things like that, like these security measures to make sure that ThorChain is not exploited. Like if right now, if you were trying to siphon out tons of native Bitcoin out of the network, then there are these like throttling features to kind of like be like, hey, something's off. Let's slow this down. Let's make sure everything's cool. Whereas with Synths, that doesn't apply because it's within ThorChain. So there's like a difference in security between like the Thor stuff and like the external native assets. So, you know, whereas something like Thor USD and even like the synthetics, whatever you'll call it, for how Thor savings will work, like those will be internal to ThorChain. So like the real problem comes when you're, you know, swapping those back to native assets and trying to exploit them out, I suppose, is the bigger problem, which would still have like all the same built-in security features would still be applying. So
yeah, I hear him that my main concern about ThorFi wasn't that it's going to be exploited and the hackers will steal funds. It was like the pegged dollar and unpegging and those, like when the because the project is quite, in my view, is quite early in terms of its price, and the price fluctuations is how will that affect. But I mean, when I started holding it, I thought that it's fast, it's like in shorter horizon, but now hearing to you guys, I believe it's in a bit longer one, so it's not a main concern for me at the moment. So thank you about that.
Totally.
I have nothing else to add, so feel free, anyone else, to jump in.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. Let's go to Arno and then Tim.
Thanks so much, Ed. I came with first a quick suggestion about the audio. I've noticed that's a Twitter issue, and it does indeed impact the speakers. I was a listener, and it was just fine. I heard all questions and answers.
Wow, and that's so weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So even Chad B was coming in clear for you?
Clear, absolutely clear. I believe for all the speakers. I mean,
so it's just us.
Yeah, it's just it's only the speakers. Yeah, for me, it was like
it's the speaker's curse, I call it. But weird. One way to mitigate kind of that is I've been turning on the closed captioning, and that kind of bridges the gap. It's not perfect, but it makes a big difference. At least, you know, saves time not having to repeat everything. And so just a suggestion. And my question is, I noticed that Dogecoin trading and pooling is still, I believe, halted on Thorchain. I know there was a mempool issue. I believe Binance did some shenanigans. My question is, I guess, like, how long do you expect that to last? But also, like, what's the method of resolving that? What do you guys do in the background to kind of solve this problem?
Yeah, that would definitely be a better one for Chad or Nine Realms. Unfortunately, I'm not too sure. I didn't realize it was still paused, actually. I did hear about that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, hopefully, like, that cleared up. And then it would just be a matter of the nodes kind of just essentially voting to re-enable it, just turning it back on their node. And then once there's, I guess, after 2/3, it would just be back on. Or I think it's 2/3 for that. But yeah.
2/3.
I don't know. Do you know anything else on this altcoin?
I know it was paused. I don't know if it's something on our end or on their end, to be quite honest with you. But I mean, if it was something on like the Thorchain end, we would just, the node operators can just vote to pause the network, right?
So I'm not 100% certain what happened, but as far as I know, late last week, Binance performed a really large amount of transactions real fast. The mempool got flooded. And I think 24 to 48 hours later, it was, for me personally, it was like resumed. So I managed to, you know, do stuff. But this morning, a friend asked me, hey, he's like, it's still halted. I was like, no, it's not. So I checked, it wasn't. But then when I reset the app, I'm using Thor Wallet, but I think on ThorSwap, it's the same thing. When I reset, then it said, okay, still halted. So I was just curious. But I'll ask Chad next time he's around. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Also, I'm going to look right now, or you could too, is if you're not in the dev Discord, really good for kind of like the more behind the scenes technical stuff. If people like really want to see what's happening at the source, not something just for like kind of everyday usage necessary by any means, but I'm sure there's some chatter that was going on in there. Yeah.
Where do I get an invite for the Discord?
I believe it's linked in the Thorchain docs. So if you just go to docs.thorchain.org, it's in, I forget like what page it's on, but it's in there somewhere.
Got it. Thank you. I appreciate that. If someone else wants to jump in, appreciate it.
Totally.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for bringing me up. I got two questions. One was just staring in my head because someone brought up Tokamak, as well as bringing up like the deprecation of ERC-20 Rune, or the acceleration of that, I guess. I'd say like in order to kind of pull that off with the reactor, like the community would probably have to still prioritize like a 1-to-1 redemption ratio, since I'm pretty sure Tokamak is only ERC-20s. I know there's UST wormhole in there now. Which was an interesting thought I had, because it probably wouldn't be the best of things to go get a reactor and then we change the ratio. One other question here. So I've been following ThorChain a long time. Love it. Super excited to read this PDF that everyone keeps talking about. But I do just have a very, very simple question, which I've never gotten the answer to. I understand that like the deterministic price of room, like there's two rune for every, or basically there's $3 of rune to $1 of liquidity, two from the nodes, one from the pools. And then it trades on a multiplier most times. Is there like, at the base of that, is there a way that you can essentially redeem for that deterministic pricing if it were ever at the floor? Like, what actually makes it like hold that value? Like, is there a redemption mechanism? Does the incentive pendulum just swing heavily one way? Like, where do we get at there?
Right. Yeah. So first off, on the Tokamak thing, I was thinking the same thing when that came up. That makes perfect sense. I'm not too informed on Tokamak, but yeah, my understanding is it's ERC-20, but so wouldn't make any sense to kind of do the kill switch immediately if that plays out. But even if that kill switch does come into play, again, this is like a way out thing. Like there's little to no risk in the short term holding those.
Yeah, it would be a long-term deprecation. The initial proposal had like 6 to 12 months after mainnet was live. You know, of course, we want to give users the ability to actually upgrade to native rune from ERC and BEP2 to native rune. So don't worry about that. If that proposal actually does go through, it won't be an immediate thing, and you'll be well aware with some notice on how that's going to work.
Yeah, sure. And then to the 3x TVL question, it's not redeemable in any way like that, and it's also not it's not instantaneously truly exactly 3x TVL all the time. It's more so that there are, like you mentioned, the incentive pendulum. There's incentive models in place that help it equilibrate back to the 3x, just because otherwise, like, it doesn't make sense to do certain things in the network. Like, if there was way too much bonded, for example, then all the rewards would swing towards LPs, and vice versa. If it's hitting the maximum, then the nodes become more incentivized, which some people could pull out of LPs and go to nodes if they are node operators and want to reallocate their rune. So it's really just incentive based, and it kind of finds its balance back to the 3x TVL, or I guess technically above when it's overbonded, right? But yeah, it's just those incentives, because the pool is always going to be 1-to-1. That's kind of just necessary because no prices on ThorChain are set by external oracles. They're just set by just, again, incentives. And if you could arb out the other asset if you wanted to. So that's kind of setting the rune price. And setting the price of everything, really. And so that's always 1-to-1. And then the incentive pendulum is reallocating the rewards between LPs and nodes to keep the other 2-to-1. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I wasn't sure if it was solely based on the incentive pendulum, but it sounds like it is. And I think that sounds good. And then quickly on the Tokamak thing, I definitely support a Tokamak reactor, and I was voting, and wish we would have gotten in that first run. But I think, yeah, like, even if this proposal is like very far out, we should still keep that in mind if we are pushing the quote unquote adoption of ERC-20 rune. We should probably make sure that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot by also moving to change the ratio or accelerate deprecation, et cetera.
Yeah, totally a fair point, for sure. Cool. Sorry, did you have another question?
No, I was just going to thank you guys. I'm hopping off.
Cool. Yeah, no, thanks for the good questions. If anyone else here, if anyone wants to ask questions, maybe we'll do like a last call for a last round of questions. If not, we'll wrap up. I just pinned... ThorChain just posted like a cool update of the last week, just everything kind of going on, and kind of helps explain, you know, what's imminently coming, top priority, what's just happened, what's happening. So yeah, check that out. Pretty cool. And pulling up couple questions here. SN5 and flying high.
Hey guys, so I just asked a question to Chad, Dev Chad, about the no liquidations on ThorFi. I was just wondering, is there any repayment schedule? So do you like agree to terms in terms of how quickly you pay back, or is that that's just not the case?
I know you have to repay the loans. I don't recall, Chad, if I saw if there was like an X amount of like days or months that you have to like repay it by. I don't recall that, but I do know you have to repay the loan.
Yeah, I don't remember the detail there either, but I know, so it is 0% though. So yeah, how is it determined that you'll even pay it back at all, right?
That's a good question. 0%. That's a good question. To be quite honest, I'm still wrapping my head around the ThorFi doc as well. I've read it twice now, and like I think we've already asked for a meeting with Chad B just to kind of wrap our heads around it, like internally as well, before we kind of create a document. It's not a simple concept, I think is the best way to put it, Chad, right?
Totally. So I was actually lucky to already be on one of those calls with Chad B, just like with him walking through it. And I swear by the end of it, I was like, shit, I already forgot everything. So I'm going to have to hear it like 20 more times until I can explain it anywhere near as well as Chad B can. Like he said, you know, it's just your initial reaction is like, oh, this is impossible. This makes no sense. But it's just, it's a crazy model, and it's the difficulty, like you were just saying, is the difficulty is going to be figuring out how to actually explain it clearly. Like ideally it's something we'll be able to explain like pretty simply. So
yeah,
we'll have to figure that one out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's probably a bit premature, but I'll maybe try and jump on Friday and ask him, but from the tweet he replied, it looked like
you're sounding a little muffled. Oh, I don't know if you're,
is that better? Just a bit louder.
There you go.
Probably a bit premature to ask the question, but maybe I'll try to jump on Friday. But the tweet that he replied, it sounded like there is no repayment schedule. All I was thinking from that is you could essentially, without risk, leverage. You take the loan, buy more rooms.
You totally can.
Buy more whatever else you want. Take the loan again.
Yeah, you
and just keep going until... With no risk, which obviously at the same time you're securing the network. So like I don't see, if you're bullish on two assets, I don't really see, including Moon obviously, yeah, there doesn't seem to be much downside. Which is,
it's kind of insane.
Yeah.
And I've heard Chad B saying, you know, like that will happen. Absolutely. The thing to keep in mind that helped me understand it a little bit more is that it won't always be an 100% collateralization ratio. So that scales based on like the amount being used, meaning like it's not like you could just leverage to infinity or something like that. But you'll definitely be able to leverage and seemingly quite safely as far as I can tell. And that just leads to ThorChain itself owning more liquidity like long term, forever basically, because if somebody just walks off with the borrowed loan and buys whatever they want and leaves, then ThorChain just has their LP position forever, and it kind of wants that. Like it kind of has this inherent assumption that ThorChain is long crypto and short the dollar, and so to ThorChain that's like profitable, right? It's like, oh well, now like we're just going to earn money on this LP forever, and that's going to fund Thor savings forever, which it's kind of wild.
Definitely. I mean, it's a no-brainer if you're already holding the room, and obviously most people are bullish on Bitcoin, so yeah, crazy. Thanks so much. I look forward to hearing more on Friday. Keep it going.
Will do. Spaces every day until... Well, you can imagine. Cool. No, not literally. I'm joking. It's like I've been saying I'll do 3 hours of spaces per day until Rune hits whatever price.
I mean, that's what we've been doing, right, Chad?
Basically, I mean, we don't have weekends yet. There's still a couple days open, but our hope is that, you know, other people will start doing this stuff too, you know, and any, like, you know, we're not like, how I even got into this position at all was just by starting to jump on spaces and just fool around and talk. And now I like, I'm kind of a little bit more involved in stuff. So, you know, if people are really into Thorchain, like just figure out like kind of what you can do and who you can help anyone can start something like this. So meaning like spaces and stuff or content of some kind. So there's always somebody that, you know, is just starting, and there's people at all levels, so you don't have to be a GigaBrain. I'm not a dev, you know.
I'm not either.
Yeah, so
I am, but not at that level. I also make videos, so yeah, I've been thinking about heaps about how I could help, but yeah, I'm not sure at what stage I'll do it. Again, thank you so much. Yeah, enjoy your day.
For sure.
No worries.
You too.
Something I wanted to just bring up is, like, again, you, like Chad mentioned, you don't have to be a dev in order to get involved. Like, I only recently, within the last month or two, really started getting involved as like LPU mod, and now with Chad on Twitter Spaces and Multichain Law and other stuff. And I know Chad's been a really good community member, just providing a lot of value back in Twitter Spaces and just kind of disseminating a lot of the complex information into more digestible, easy to understand information. So yeah, if you're looking to get involved, just feel free to ask, like, either me or Chad, or like, if it's like dev resources, I'd go to the dev Discord. But yeah, as long as you're providing values, there's definitely some opportunities if you're looking to contribute back into the ecosystem.
Yeah, and I would just emphasize that last part is the ecosystem. Like, it's not just about Thorchain itself, it's about like all these projects that are popping up around it too. So basically every project in all of crypto like needs help at everything. So, you know, if you're thinking about Thorchain or some project 24/7 and working some job you don't like or something, like, honestly, like, try to, you know, you could figure out how your skills could apply and get paid for it too. So it's a lot of opportunities. Anyways, we have Royal and SN5. And Sia Mac. And then maybe, well, I was going to say maybe we'll wrap up, but let's just see how it goes. Anyone can go for it.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
How are you doing?
Good.
So I was just wondering regarding the deep fraction of the falling, which you guys were talking, BEP2 and ERC20. So I was a little adamant back then when they presented the proposal to the kill switch, because, well, first of all, there were two different dates, right, for ERC20s and BEP2. And like I was saying, I would just create confusion for nothing. Like, it would have to be the same thing. But guess if I remember, ERC20 were straight from mainnet, right? But they were not even, there was no clear date on mainnet back at that moment.
Yeah, originally it was said to be like 12 months starting at mainnet for ERC20 and 6 months behind that schedule for BEP2. That was the original proposal, but it sounds like that's probably not exactly true anymore.
Yeah. So for following what you were saying, like, isn't there, so the question was, isn't there actually a benefit to practicing, like, well, both back to, especially with the whole problem with the centralized exchange not having the native rune, but on the ERC side, bringing it to native so that we have basically a common number of all the tokens in circulation, clearly defined, as you can still bring, again, the rune on your, as a wrap asset on ERC20, just like USD or any other. So it doesn't prevent the fact that there'll still be another rune eventually afterward getting wrapped. But like the current rune that we have on ERC20 is an original one, right?
Yeah. So I see what you're saying. And I brought this up once to Chad. And so I'll try to like kind of repeat his answer to the best of my ability. But yeah, it's kind of like, oh, so we're trying to phase out BEP2 rune, phase out ERC20 rune, but then at the same time we're talking about like adding IBC rune, which is kind of like, it feels like a contradiction. And I think where this comes from is that you're right. So like, I think BEP2 was first actually, but same concept. So all like at the beginning, there was no, like Thorchain itself wasn't live yet, right? So BEP2 was like launched at an IDO, and that was like your way of having price exposure to Rune, right? Before like Thorchain as we know it was a thing. So all native Rune has been minted from these other versions of Rune. And I think that is where the problem lies, as far as I understand, is that it's like it's an ability to mint Rune, and it seems like something that they just want to close that like access point, right? Then another question for Chad would be, doesn't bringing back Thor USD kind of just reopen the same thing, the ability to mint and burn Rune? Maybe that's a good question, but I know that was kind of his answer, was that it's a bit different than a wrapped asset because it's actually like coming in for the first time and minting Rune versus taking native Rune, locking it up and creating like wrapped Rune on Ethereum, which maybe we see that in the future. Like maybe there's a new version of ERC-20 Rune. It's not useful to the network. And I think that's kind of the problem, and why like the idea is just to get all the native Rune and to get it all into Thorchain on bonds and liquidity pools. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, currently that's one of, I would guess, the issues for some people, that you can't have a working Rune alone staking, but you can do it on ERC-20s and BEP2. There's other ways, but not with contracts, not that I know of. But you can definitely do it on ERC-20s. So that's one of the main selling points, is that you can have it working out. And I mean less sell pressure on the native chain. But eventually the nice point would have to be all that, have it all on native, and I mean then from there. But that's the thing, and once you have your actual all native Rune brought back on the chain, whatever is wrapped on any chain after, what I mean, an Avalanche or whatever, it could bring it on Matic or whatever, they are still derived from the native Rune, instead of being right now we're waiting for those ERC-20s to get bridged to mint those native Runes, right.
Yeah, that's the way I think about it. So makes sense to me.
As long as they have like that, I was a little like, I wasn't happy with the fact that it would be like straight from mainnet. But as long as I think they give a fair notice, like for all of them, not just BEP2, like they both have no confusion the same, like let's say 6 months or a year after mainnet. I mean, I think that would be pretty cool. But yeah, just as long as there is enough head time for everybody to react. Because I mean, some contracts, it can be stuck in them for a while. They're on ERC-20. So I could see some problem for some people to get out of them there if it was like from mainnet, but I totally agree. It has to be done eventually.
There's always going to be somebody that just like missed the memo and just like,
yeah,
comes back like seven years from now. They're like, what do I do with my ERC-20? Like, that's a bummer, but yeah, it's a tricky thing. I'm not even sure. Like, I don't even have like a super strong opinion. I'm not even sure what the answer is.
Cool. Well, I'll be keeping an eye on what's happening. It's very nice actually to see what, like, it's very very vivid right now. There's a lot of life around Thorchain really, so nice to see all that going.
Yeah, totally. The energy lately is just so exciting. I'm just glued to Twitter.
Hey, by the way, I was going to add, if people are in the ecosystem while the gases are pretty low right now, it's a good time for whoever is the chat in there to rack up some points on the Torchat DAO. There are a lot of things that involve doing some transactions, so rack up your points.
Yeah, true. Or like staking Thor, XDeFi too. Like, yeah, I've done a couple of things like that just recently because it's like, dang, gas, I haven't seen gas this cheap in super long.
I've did everything lately for like under 20 Gwei. So yeah, that was pretty, like, especially the minting those Thor there lately, that was pretty cheap to do compared to a couple months ago.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah, you too.
No worries.
Take care.
I brought up Morpheus.
Hey guys, how you doing? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pardon the background noise, I'm in a cafe. So I'm somewhat of a new crypto enthusiast, so to speak. I consider myself a bit of a lunatic. I really like Luna, etc. And I've been listening to a few spaces that you guys have held. So I understand some of the basic concepts, but I think for me personally, understanding torching will be a bit of a learning curve, given I'm relatively new to the entire crypto environment. So pardon if some of my questions are a little bit more layman. So I just wanted to sort of understand the KTL aspect of Rune, where each non-Rune asset is then matched by the times Rune, one pool, and twice as collateral by the validators. That makes sense to me, no problem. But I'm just wanting to understand a bit more around the tokenomics as to, firstly, is it a fixed supply for Rune?
Yeah, so there's 500 million tokens. If you're looking for a little more information about like just the project as a whole, what I would recommend for anyone looking to ask questions or learn a little more about Thorchain or LPing is just click the LP University that's actually in this space. And so I'm a mod in one of the in this Discord. And so we have an official links channel that we just pushed forward, and it has literally all of like the really important Thorchain documents, including a guide I wrote for like for beginners. So definitely recommend checking that out, and let us know if you have any questions, and we would be happy to help you with any questions you have.
Yeah, so I've gone through some of those threads and looked at some of the videos, but like I said, it's still somewhat of a complex. Arrangement in your normal projects that you see, especially like a standard arrangement like a Luna setup. So I think I'm reasonably familiar, but just wanted to do a bit of a deep dive. I just didn't find an answer to the fact that there was a big supply or not on any of those threads that I read anyway. But if I could just ask another question in terms of fees. So how would, I mean, given that Thorchain is going to be talking to different chains, like Ethereum and Bitcoin, which are perceived to be high gas fees. How would that work in the long run in terms of what fees are charged to the users when you transact between chains, etc.?
Yeah. First, on the prior thing, I would just point out one other specific link, which would be Thorchain.live. You can see like really nice like graphs and charts and breakdowns of like all these things like you're talking about, like how much is in the pools, how much is in the nodes, how much is in the reserve. And just to note that on the 500 million total supply, it's technically all created, but there is like a reserve that creates block emissions and stuff like that. So depends how you define it. I mean, arguably, it's still like inflating the circulating supply for now, but there is a fixed ceiling at 500 million. And then all that ThorFi stuff we were talking about for the long term would very likely make Rune deflationary. So,
So I understand that obviously, the project is going to emit some tokens until some point, but as long as there's a fixed supply, that doesn't go beyond that, which is obviously critical from that tokenomics and retaining the value and accruing value in the long term. I was more curious when this thing becomes as big as everyone expects it to be. What would the fees look like? Would it somewhat become only for the big players where it's costing too much to transact?
Oh.
Would a small player still be able to swap coins?
Yeah, so in terms of swap fees, first off, a really good way to just see it is to just go to ThorSwap and just like play with it. And you can basically just see the swap breakdowns before you do it, which is very helpful. A couple things on this is, first off, you're totally right. It's like, so these are on-chain transactions. So meaning basically the gas depends on what chain you're swapping. If you're swapping BNB to Rune, super cheap, because like the speed and the fees of both of those chains are both low. If you're swapping Bitcoin to Ethereum or Ethereum to Bitcoin, then the time and the fees are subject to those chains. And actually the outbound fee is 3x on Thorchain because it has to fund some other things like some goes to the actual gas, some goes to like the LPs, the income, and some goes to the reserve. So for example, swapping to Ethereum can definitely be quite expensive. But that's just like kind of the nature of using on-chain transactions because you're dealing in true L1 native assets that you have self-custody of the whole time. Like there's no sort of, you know, centralized exchange where you're just trading IOUs and stuff like that. So it's cheap. Like this is actual on-chain transactions. Now, would that scale with usage? No, not really, because most of that fee is just the on-chain gas fees of those chains. There's only a small rune fee of 0.02 in that, and the slippage is one of the main fees, which will actually just get lower and lower as the pools get deeper because you'll be disrupting the pools less. Like right now, you know, if you swap a huge swap, you know, the fee could potentially be a couple percent or something, depending on how much you're disrupting that pool. But if the pool is billions and billions of dollars, then it's hard to really make an impact on that side. Now, on top of that, I don't know if you've checked out Synthetics, Thorchain Synthetics. They just launched last week, which is basically like a way to trade essentially like L2. It's like L2 trading of any of the assets integrated. So you can mint a synthetic asset, which is one-to-one of the L1 asset. For example, synthetic Ethereum can be redeemed one-to-one for Ethereum, but these assets are on Thorchain itself and backed by the underlying LP. So synthetic Ethereum is backed by Rune Ethereum liquidity pool. And those assets can trade basically like Rune. So 0.02 Rune to send and stuff like that. Slippage fees are half on ThorSense. So that's a way to like completely, if you're trying to just like do trades on chain and stuff like that, ThorSense are totally a way to get around a lot of those problems of speed and fees.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. So you're still exposed to the normal fees that the L1 level tier high gas fees, as long as, you know, version 2.0 is something better, we'd still be exposed to those, you know, in the case, obviously, because it's a L1 base chain. So that makes sense. I think that's all for now. I'll go into the build-up a bit, look at that Thorchain live, and come back to my questions.
Cool. Yeah. We've got CMAC.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Thank you. I just wanted to quickly check that you guys hear me well, because as you guys mentioned, it was very, very fine when I was a listener, but when I became a speaker, like, this is very difficult to navigate.
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Okay, perfect. So I've been fascinated by open source software and other types of software, and I have, like, you know, kind of observed the evolution of them. And so the first point that I want to mention is more of an observation, and I want to know how people are feeling about this in the community. I'm fairly new to Thorchain, but a veteran in crypto, and so my experience, actually, like, you know, if I compare it to the experience that I had in Osmosis and, like, you know, the Thorchain, it is a little bit rough. Like, you know, it starts from the rune and the conversion, and then, like, you know, you get into it, and, like, you know, when you get to the Thor swap, you are doing the LP, and the incentive right there is to know, like, you know, when and how much, and, like, you know, where and in what currency, and what are you getting paid, and all of that. And we can see that, like, you know, in good examples like Osmosis, like, you know, very clearly, and this one, like, you know, Thor yield sometimes loads up, sometimes this is slow, sometimes this. And it's not a dashboard right on the Thor swap. And I know this question and this observation is mostly about a project and not the Thorchain itself. but I just wanted to know, like, you know, that is this something that the community acknowledges and the devs and RV, like, you know, having some plans for it, or is it something that we did back in the days with the Linux community? We kind of built and we just wished for them to come. And of course they did, and it became a foundation for other software and big tech, but on its own, it had a very rough way to the mainstream adoption. So would you say, is that like a fair observation, or is that like, you know, something that it could be like, you know, very individual and personally, like, you know, kind of something that I experienced?
Yeah. No, I think you're spot on. I mean, I think there's a lot of like rough user experience with this stuff still. I mean, it's early, and like you touched on, part of what's so exciting about Thorchain is it's not Thorchain itself. It's the interfaces built on top of it. So, you know, over time, like I would imagine even just a year from now, like there will probably be so many different interfaces that are actually using Thorchain on the back end. I mean, of course now, mm-hmm. like, you know, there's not that many options of what you're going to actually use Thorchain with today. Basically XDeFi, Shapeshift, ThorSwap, AsgardX, if you're technical, like Rango routes through it, but you know, not that many options right now. But I'm sure you've kind of heard like the vision of, you know, Thorchain is like the invisible backend. Like eventually there could be an app as easy to use as Robinhood that allows you to have self-custody and, you know, be earning yield through Thor savings, which is burning Rune, and the user doing that doesn't even know what Rune is. Like, you know, it's kind of this like background thing. And that's kind of like the really exciting part of how it can be integrated into all these different apps or existing apps too, you know, like,
for sure.
Like what if SushiSwap just says like, oh, connect a Bitcoin wallet. How's that work? Well, I don't know, but it's probably Thorchain. and just having that type of stuff will be huge. Also, like within just more the Thorchain itself ecosystem, like just the amount of competition between interfaces is definitely going to heat up. And like, you know, it's really been like just ThorSwap, who's kind of been just continuously leading the charge from the very beginning and always the first one to integrate every new feature that Thorchain offers, which is epic. But I agree, you know, ThorSwap is like, what's cool about ThorSwap is that you can do everything on it, right? But things aren't necessarily abstracted away as much because it's more like kind of like power user focused, you know, it's not just super simplistic. But one really exciting thing on that is just in the next few weeks or so, ThorSwap is rolling out V2, which is just it's a complete redesign. They've posted it publicly too. It's on, you know, mixed through their tweets and stuff, but much more just simplified and just like everything's kind of like large and clear and a little less nerdy, a little more just like what you're accustomed to with most DEXs. So, you know, that's just like one particular interface example of being aware of, you know, complicated UI. Absolutely. And I think another part of that is education too. And obviously there's a lot that the community is thinking about like this, like even just what like myself and Altcoin Asian are doing, like myself through trying to educate with ThorSwap and Altcoin Asians in LP University. And there's all these like resources, but even that I don't think those resources are like mainstream, you know, like your mom is not going to go to Discord for support. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's resources, but it's for Twitter nerds. It's not for everyone right now. So I think over time, I think a lot of that is kind of on the interface, you know, like I think the interface can kind of have like onboarding and education built in, like you sort of touched on this, like when you go to like we go to LP or something and it just makes it very clear what you're doing or has like some sort of simulation calculator sort of thing. Or like almost like a, like when you onboard to a software and it kind of has like a wizard that kind of onboards you through the experience. You know, I think stuff like that will need to come, or when you download a new app, it like shows you how to use it the first time. Cause yeah, right now it's like, it's great to be like, oh, join the Discord and get support, but you know, it's not something for like the masses to go that route.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that brings me to my second point very well. And that is that, so I'm not going to shill my own business, but I'm actually a co-founder and CEO on the educational startup. And we have, like, you know, some pretty good, like, you know, VC backing. And what we are trying to achieve with our startup is kind of like, you know, bring the awareness to the masses on new financial opportunities. And like, you know, one of the things that I was looking to was that, like, you know, I'm extremely fascinated by the Thor chain as a project, like, you know, pretty much after Bitcoin, like, you know, been a while, and this is the only thing that excites me in this space. And I just wanted to know, like, you know, how is the collaboration flow? Like, you know, if you want to, like, you know, very as a company, kind of, like, you know, help ThorChain to bring the message out there, to bring the education out there in a way that people can trust and they can see it on their app and in a platform that they know, not just only like, you know, the anon Twitter accounts and all of that. Like, you know, for that, I wanted to know, like, you know, who should we reach to, and, like, you know, how we can, like, you know, kind of look forward to this.
Yeah. So that kind of reminded me of one other thing to mention too, which is part of, like, the shortcoming with, like, kind of the fragmentation of interfaces and education, like, just comes from the really just, like, the ethos of decentralization from the beginning. Which, like, so, you know, like, even something like ThorChain, just like a website, there's, like, multiple websites. It's like, which one's official? Well, actually, none of them are official. Like, yeah. What's really going on? What's really the source is kind of this, like, mm-hmm. thing that comes out of, you know, kind of proper decentralization, which is a good thing too, but it can lead to fragmentation versus, like, you go to Terra's website and it's just, like, beautiful and perfect and everything is absolutely on point. To your question though, you know, with it being decentralized and all that, like, basically people can submit proposals basically to the ThorChain treasury, which get reviewed. I think it's quarterly, so it might not be like a couple months until the next cohort, but basically you can come up with, like, a pitch and a proposal. And I believe Nine Realms now manages this part, but basically they'll look at your proposal and what you're asking for, and you can potentially get projects funded. And this is how, like, a lot of the ecosystem projects and education stuff around ThorChain gets its start. So that's definitely an option if you're looking to, like, you know, build some education or some kind of thing to help the ThorChain ecosystem in any way. This is an option. Or you could, of course, you know, reach out to specific projects on top of ThorChain and, you know, see if it would be something that might, like, be a fit.
Oh, perfect. That's actually a great answer and a way to do this. So do you know any kind of plan for having native Rune on exchanges? I know that this, like, you know, is very like, this is exactly opposite, and it's exactly what we're trying to get out of the centralized exchanges, but still, that's the way that people are kind of looking at these things, and, like, you know, that's their gateway drug. And is there any specific reason other than, maybe I think it's probably, like, you know, we don't have a lot of devs working on this, like, you know, because it's like, you know, we have the resources limited. But I don't know, like, any other reasons that there are no other exchanges, like, you know, the Sexes are having native Rune. I don't know, like, why is that?
Well, one reason, and this is just speaking for myself, like, nothing, mm-hmm. like, I'm not a core dev or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I know one of the reasons is because ThorChain just doesn't want to pay off these centralized exchanges just for a stupid listing that they don't really need anyways, to some extent, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, yeah. like look at Coinbase. I mean, they list freaking any shitcoin ever now. It's unbelievable. Like, I remember when Litecoin getting listed on Coinbase was a big deal. And now you go on every day and there's like 100 new shitcoins. And it's just like, what are you?
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's embarrassing. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. But just my personal opinion. So yeah, you know, like, I don't think, I know Thorchain has tried in the past, but yeah, I just know it's been basically like they want, you know, they want the protocol to basically donate a bunch of liquidity. They want you to go through a bunch of hoops or whatever. And I just don't think it kind of aligns with Thorchain. I'm just kind of relaying the answers I've heard on this, but you know, a couple things. One is the phase out of BEP2 Rune would kind of put pressure on them. We were talking about that a bit earlier, because at some point, you know, if they're going to want access, if they're going to want any of that trade volume of Rune and any of that like demand, they'll kind of be forced into it over time. Mm. But yeah, I don't know any like behind the scenes really on if anything has is like imminently coming, but I definitely hope so too, because I agree with you. Like whenever I'm telling like a normie friend about Rune, it's still just like, oh shit, you have to tell them, like, you have to give quite an explanation to actually get them to the point of understanding. Like if they don't understand self-custody, nope. If they've never used a DEX, if they've never seen a seed phrase, like then suddenly you're like eight steps down the rabbit hole before you even get to Rune. So yeah, I agree. It's kind of like a problem in that regard. But at the same time, it's like, it's really just kind of about price speculation and not really about use in Thorchain itself. And another thing is like, you know, I mean, this doesn't really solve that problem, but the on-ramp problem is really fixed as soon as you can on-ramp to anything, right? Because like anything that's integrated in Thorchain is basically like, I would argue, part of the Thorchain ecosystem in a way. Like if you hold Bitcoin in a Ledger wallet, like you've already on-ramped to Thorchain, because all you have to do is connect it into Thorchain and do whatever you want. Like it's not like you have to kind of bridge through like a million different things and you don't have gas for the chain or whatever, like a lot of sort of weird bridging solutions and stuff like that. Like you just plug in whatever you've got and you're already in the ecosystem. But to get Rune itself, like, you know, an interface could like have an on-ramp, like if there's a great on-ramp to UST, for example, if there's a perfect on-ramp to UST that everyone loves, then an on-ramp can just, an interface can just integrate that on-ramp and then be like, they could probably just make a step to like automatically swap it to Rune or something. So the problem is like kind of solved there, but it's still not like for the centralized exchange user. So hopefully they would, and it, dude, also like it causes so much unnecessary confusion. Cause you're right. Like when people find Thorchain and it's like, well, which version do I have and how do I change it?
Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, because in the EU, like for today, we had this problem of like, you know, oh, is it going to be a vote on banning the proof of work, this and that. So in the EU, there's this discussion, like, you know, let's get all of our money out of the exchanges and all of that. Well, I've done that. But like, you know, when you go on to talk to the normie friends, like, you know, what's going to happen is that, like, you know, okay, so this Rune thingy that you're talking about, awesome, amazing, I bought it. Like, you know, how I move on and the stuff, and I come to the ThorSwap and I install the XDeFi and all of this. And then you have to, like, you know, talk through, like, you know, this whole BEP2, BEP20, there's like, you know, this and that. For me, that's obvious, but like, you know, I have been like, you know, I had a hard time to convert others. Like, you know, that's the reason I ask. Like, you know, that's like, you know, something like I can be totally in the days of the open source software that I was involved, say that, oh, I understand it. Whoever doesn't, it's their problem. But I just don't want Thorchain to become the Linux, which was the most amazing thing. But like, you know, it never reached the full potential and it never became a household name, which actually brings me to my third point. It's a fun one. Like, you know, as a non-native speaker, this Thorchain as a name is very difficult. Is there any plans for, like, you know, kind of having a better branding, honestly.
Yeah. Interestingly, like I mentioned the dev Discord a couple times, like people can jump in there if they really want to be a fly on the wall to like stuff that's happening, like on the protocol itself. But this has been a discussion of rebranding. So it's a possibility. I mean, people are thinking about it, that's for sure. I think most likely, and personally, what I think is most important is not necessarily completely starting from scratch with a new name and all of that, but I definitely think like the branding component has a lot of cleaning up to do. You know, I think we can ditch a lot of the Norse mythology, like freaking weird graphics and stuff like that. Like, you know, and I think part of that is what I mentioned a few minutes ago too, is like when you land on Thorchain.com or Thorchain.org, you're like, it's unclear like what's legit and what's the official source and stuff like that. So there's a lot of work going on to like clean up the messaging and clean up like kind of the onboarding experience. Nine Realms is doing a lot of work on this, who's like, you know, super integral to Thorchain at this point. And they're really thinking about these kinds of problems. And even on the education stuff, like, I mean, that's an area that I'm personally been trying to help. Like I'm creating like tutorials and videos, walkthroughs, for how to use ThorSwap and Thorchain and stuff like that. It still doesn't solve how complicated it is, but at least it like creates a library of resources that you can easily point people to and, you know, just try to make it as simple as humanly possible. But yeah, you know, the rebranding thing is interesting. Personally, like I've this is just purely my personal opinion, but when I first heard the idea, I was like, oh yeah, like that could be really cool, you know, like start over with like a stronger, cleaner, cohesive brand. But then on the other hand, I'm like, you know, as much as there's like negative stuff with like how it being, or even like, you know, to bring up like past exploits way back and stuff like that, like if somebody Googles Thorchain and or if people are just turned off by the look of it. But on the other hand, like it's kind of a bummer to abandon all the positive brand equity that Thorchain has too. Like if I personally think about what Thorchain means to me, it's like, yeah, when I first heard the name, I'm like, what the hell is that? It's like a weird name and it's probably like, you know, just a meme coin or something. But once you really get to know it, like I can't help but feel like the core community is like really attached to it at this point. Like I personally like have kind of come to love it, you know? So I don't know, just my thoughts, but curious.
Yeah, I totally understand. Just an observation, because like, you know, I know a couple of languages and I have lived in many countries, and this TH sound for me even is like really difficult. Like, you know, this is not a common thing, like a S sound. And this actually confuses a lot of people. Like, you know, you brought the example of somebody's mom or like grandma, like they are not going to be able to pronounce it. Like, you know, if you have a case in Vietnam or somewhere, or in Iran, or like, you know, these are not like, you know, native sounds to those languages. That's the only concern that I have.
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, because usually it's more that people are like, oh, it's related to like Thor, like the Marvel movies and stuff like that. But I hadn't thought about like the TH sound specifically. That's interesting. But I think that also like ties back into a few minutes ago, you know, like I don't think people need to know what Thorchain is.
Yeah.
Like I think Thorchain could be like in the top five with like most people. Even crypto people don't even have to know hardly what it is. Yeah. Like they just have to know like what their favorite app is. And Thorchain is going to be this backend thing. And by knowing about Thorchain and by understanding the value accrual of Rune, you know, you're kind of like in the know. But I don't think it's not a prerequisite to use it, because you don't have to go to like any sort of main Thorchain interface, like any app can integrate it. And two, like you don't need Rune. You don't need a Thorchain wallet address. I mean, you literally don't, there's no like prerequisite to using it. For example, like once the Terra integration is here, you could just like connect your Terra wallet to something and, you know, get Bitcoin out the other end or whatever. And that can kind of be like, that can be so much abstracted away. I think like right now we're just seeing it in this complicated, like nerdy, time where it's like just in its infancy, and you know, all of that stuff can kind of be abstracted away behind beautifully simple apps and stuff like that. It, you know, there's still kind of like the self-custody angle, but I think that's like a broader crypto problem than just Thorchain. That, like, I mean, I at least hope that self-custody will become more and more you know, understood and practiced by, like, quote unquote normies. And then by doing that, you're basically creating Thorchain users, because as soon as somebody has self-custody, like, they're basically ready for Thorchain.
No, for sure. Yeah, because, like, I'm connecting what you're talking about to what I saw about the DeFi spot, I think, was this upcoming project on the Thorchain. And yeah, like, when you are like looking at that, it's just like looks exactly like Coinbase for somebody who doesn't know, and they don't need to deal with this and the name and, like, you know, those things. But yeah, absolutely, makes 100% sense. Just, like, you know, one more time, I wanted to, like, you know, to reach out and say, like, you know, even you personally, I see also LP University is here. Any of you guys, if you would like to kind of, like, you know, join us to bring your content to our platform, that has a reach to even the traditional finance people and the people who just want to grow their wealth in a legit way and in a like a trusted manner, we are open to do any collaboration with you guys. I have been talking for too long, so I will leave, but it was very interesting, and thank you for the opportunity.
Cool, yeah, thanks for the questions. We finally worked through the speaker panel. You still there, Altcoin Agent? Oh, shoot. Did you get rugged? He might have been rugged. Well,
he did.
Well, I think that's probably a good place to wrap up anyways. We're at over 3 hours and I don't see any other requests unless Twitter is just broken. But what's coming next? I would say we run this space like at least once a week. And then the Thorchain weekly space is on Fridays. People can check that out, 12 Eastern every week. And yeah, my hope is like more people will kind of just impromptu run spaces around this stuff. So I'll hop in when I see those. And yeah, thanks everyone for coming by, and a lot of great questions and stuff. So see you guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part two of the two-part multi-chain live space, Rune, Luna, all things Thorchain, and more. Recorded on Monday, March 14th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes, and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through.
back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years, off and hit the shrooms. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls, handing reports in. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big trip aristocrat, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hit the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2.
Terror Spaces.